This is a Counterspin Media presentation. Presenting Samantha Edwards Reports. Report number 10. Winston Peters ducks and dives again.
As many of you may know by now, I personally have no faith whatsoever in Winston Peters' COVID inquiry. And I have not shared the hope that many live in that he will bring justice to the atrocities perpetrated on us in the last few years. So I thought I'll put my thoughts and words into action and go ask the man himself a few questions directly at his State of the Nation address here in Palmerston North a couple of days ago. I recorded the encounter and I'll play you a few clips from the meeting, a few from his actual speech, as well as a few from my interaction with Mr. Peters after his speech finished. I asked him a couple of questions and suffice to say, I don't think he likes me very much. The audio was pretty terrible, unfortunately, as it was a very noisy environment, so I'll have to provide some commentary along the way. I arrived before the meeting began to the backdrop of a very rowdy pro-Palestine protest outside the building. When inside the venue, which was filled with over 600 people, met with our brave whistleblower Barry Young and his partner Kathy, who had a few questions of their own they would have liked to have asked Winston. After Jenny Marcroft's dramatic introduction, Winston took the stage.
My name is Jenny Marcroft, and it's an absolute pleasure to be standing in front of you today for the New Zealand First State of the Nation. Carved from the furnace of political history and just returned from Gujarat, Delhi, Indonesia, Jakarta, Singapore, a series of meetings over the past week, which included 21 flights over that week. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the leader of New Zealand First, the Right Honourable Winston Peters.
Good afternoon. Thank you for, in your busy lives, being out here this afternoon. I must say it was a most surprising welcome. We've got over 600 seats here, wow, and standing room only.
But outside,
Winston spoke about many things, including the Public Interest Journalism Fund.
Over the past 4 years, and the signing up of media outlets to receive $55 million of public funding through the Public Interest Journalism Fund. Can you believe the number of people had a go at me when I said you took a bribe? Well, you should have gotten saw them getting steamed up. How does he dare say a thing like that?
Although the crowd was obviously exhilarated by the fact that Winston was talking about some of the corruption at play, I couldn't reconcile his words with the fact that he hadn't spoken publicly about the Public Interest Journalism Fund for the majority of the time it was open for application. So I made a note to ask him about that silence during the Q&A time. I mean, surely he would have known that if he had spoken publicly earlier, calling out this corruption before the fund was already nearing its end date, that public indignation could have swayed our government to cease the scheme earlier, or at the very least, the public would have been informed that the news that they were being given, especially about COVID, was actually government-instructed propaganda, especially in 2021. There's much more that Winston spoke about and promised.
We're going to repeal the Therapeutic Products Act 2023.
If I remember rightly, he promised that same thing about the 2006 therapeutics bill, but later reneged on it. And the difference being this time, of course, that we have the amended IHRs waiting in the wings, which clearly state that they will override nation's health policies in the event of a fake public health emergency of international concern. Not just the event of a pandemic, but in the event of the WHO deciding that any health situation is of international concern.
And on education and health, we're going to go back to a curriculum on academic achievement, including the removal and replacement of gender sexuality. Yeah. And relationship-based education guidelines. We're going to repeal.
Okay. Okay. The relationship and sexuality guidelines, which are all about gender diversity and LGBTQ inclusivity, were written and introduced into our school curriculum in 2020 by Tracy Martin, Winston's own MP, under his instruction. So how is it that he presents himself as a hero for talking about getting rid of something that he created and introduced? And while we're here on the subject of things that he introduces, let me mention there was no talk in this speech about getting rid of the world's most extreme abortion bill, which was co-written by that same New Zealand First MP, Tracy Martin, again under Winston's instruction.
We're going to keep the situation at 65.
If you genuinely believe that that whole thing around the abortion bill was a terrible mistake, as many New Zealand First supporters like to, and that Winston disapproves of it, well, tell me, why does he say he'll take the opportunity while holding power to get rid of the relationship and sexuality guidelines, but not the barbaric abortion bill? Why does he again not even mention it?
We're going to protect freedom of speech.
But no problem. Just ask him about that in the Q&A time, I told myself. Understandably, there was a huge cheer when Winston went on to talk about ending COVID mandates.
I couldn't believe what she was posting.
Even though they're pretty much over and we're on to the next phase. Anyway.
We're going to end all COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Still in operation.
I couldn't help but wonder here if this specific promise to end COVID-19 mandates would extend to future variants and pandemics that the WHO has lined up for us. So I made a note to ask him about that at the Q&A time too. He then gave a short mention to his full-scale inquiry to take a look into the pandemic response. So I made a note there to ask him a couple more questions, actually. One being how that will happen when that inquiry's terms of reference don't even allow for a thorough examination of jab, harm and death, and how it could even happen when our government is contractually bound to never bring Pfizer or its products into disrepute due to its signing of the Pfizer purchasing agreement, a contract that our government has refused to release in its unredacted form, and also whether he's prepared to incriminate himself in this inquiry, seeing as how he was Deputy Prime Minister when the Pfizer clinical trials data, which showed and clearly forewarned of the hideous danger of this jab, was issued to our government.
And it was we who promised a full-scale investigation into the COVID pandemic with widening terms of reference led by the right people. To ensure you get the real answers.
Yes. At this point, I found it a bit hard not to call out the words, right people, are you kidding me? In the light of the fact that the man heading the inquiry is Tony Blakely, a fanatical promoter of the scam, unbelievable, and the very man responsible for Melbourne's COVID response modelling, which saw Melbourne become the most locked-down city in the entire world in 2020-21. 262 days of 1 year, with horrific measures used to enforce those lockdowns, and all based on Tony Blakely's modelling. In fact, Dan Andrews himself called Tony Blakely his go-to expert, so I'd really like to know how this glaring conflict of interest could possibly classify Tony Blakely as the right people. Mr. Peters then went on to talk briefly about the national interest test, making vague reference to the coming international health regulation amendments in May with this statement.
We're going to ensure a national interest test is undertaken before New Zealand accepts any agreements from the UN and its agencies.
I couldn't help but notice there that he never mentioned the part about how a 51% positive vote in May would result in all member states being subject to the enforcement of the international health regulations, whether they voted for or against at the World Health Assembly this coming May. A completely understandable omission, though, considering that it would reveal that the only option is for New Zealand to urgently exit these agencies. Yeah. Then, as Winston launched into his at times slightly incoherent spiel about immigration policy, it was becoming increasingly difficult to hold my tongue.
133,000. That's more than the total population of Dunedin in just 12 months last year. Now, where was the funding and plan for any sort of infrastructure to cope with such numbers, let alone the demands that were there before they even came by people who were here as new migrants or older settlers as well? Where was infrastructure for that, let alone the 133,000 coming in? Oh, and you could call anybody who asks questions about an unplanned immigration policy. Anybody asks questions about an unplanned immigration policy is instantly called something they can't even spell.
It's you were the one who signed the UN Migration Pact.
No, we're not xenophobic. Oh, we're just not zombies. We want an immigration plan to ensure that every immigrant gets a fair go in our country the way they used to one time when we were number one in the world. But if you want to know why Labor has got no sense of humanity or kindness or a sense of action, have a look at that policy. Get past that.
I don't know if you noticed, but it's a bit of a lacklustre, slightly confused sounding applause there. Perhaps maybe the crowd noticed that Winston's stance on immigration does appear to have changed somewhat. As even the mainstream media reported, this subject was missing in his election campaign last year. Could that be due to the fact that in 2018, it was Winston Peters himself who signed the UN Migration Pact, even though Simon Bridges was screaming out, made an urgent public statement at the time saying, and I quote, our foreign minister, Winston Peters, is about to cede New Zealand's sovereignty on immigration by signing this globalist pact, a pact designed to establish completely open borders, global citizenship, promoting the prospect of global governance. And as you just heard, the subject of immigration is now sort of morphed for Winston into one of how immigrants will be looked after. Not about restricting the insane amount of immigrants coming in. I mean, as he said, we had a whole new population of Dunedin move in last year. No, that wasn't so much the issue. The issue was how to look after them better. Because that's kindness, he said. That's a globalist message, if ever I've heard one. Anyway, no problem, I thought. I'll ask him about that too, during the question time. But, to my disappointment, Winston seems to have decided that this new version of democracy we're living in doesn't include a public question and answer time. The whole thing, actually, reminded me somewhat of a church atmosphere. It was a bit like a religious experience. We'd been preached to, promised everything under the sun, and everyone was on cloud nine, and now we're all supposed to go home and, you know, reassured that our Saviour had our futures in his trustworthy hands. But unfortunately for Winston, I've taken note of the enormous amount of promises he's broken in the past. Pretty much everyone he's ever made, actually. So, I decided I wasn't about to let him escape without a few honest questions coming his way.
So we've got no question time? I've got to see if I can ambush him because he's got no questions. Yeah, we could catch him out here.
So, thanks to Kathy's excellent suggestion of leaving through the side door, I managed to make my way around and meet Winston from the other direction as he exited the room. I thought I'd start with asking him about the thousands killed by the jab that he so heartily supported and promoted, and about his silence over the whistleblower data. But as you'll hear, he did not appreciate being questioned by someone that he called an outsider.
Mr. Peters, we have a Ministry of Health whistleblower facing 7 years in prison for revealing that 51 people jabbed in the same two-hour period in an Invercargill clinic were dead in 6 months.
Sorry, excuse me. I know when I'm being commandeered by an outsider.
You're not going to answer about those deaths?
I've got a full-scale inquiry coming. Excuse me. I've got a full-scale inquiry. You know I have. And you can turn up there.
But your terms of reference don't cover jab, harm and death. And you know you're bound by the Pfizer contract to never bring any of Pfizer's products into disrepute.
Are you going to punish the perpetrators?
Unsurprisingly, he sternly rebuked me, told me to go away, and hastily attempted his escape.
But not being one to give up easily, I thought, I'll give it another crack and ask him why he didn't go public earlier about the journalism fund.
This guy's going to try and block me, isn't he?
Excuse me, Winston. Why didn't you mention the public interest journalism fund earlier? Why did you leave it so long to speak about it publicly?
Why didn't you mention it in
such a... Don't be a joke. Don't be a joke. I damn well did. You just weren't there.
You're just never there.
I just wasn't.
He doesn't like you at all.
No, he doesn't like you.
Where are you going?
He hasn't seen me.
I then approached Shane Jones and asked him for an answer on the delay in going public about the journalism fund.
Mr. Jones, why didn't Winston say something more about the Public Interest Journalism Fund while it was still open? And he could have done something about it. Why do you wait till it was almost closed?
Don't you want to answer the questions of the people?
No. And why did Winston sign the UN Migration Pact in 2018 when he knew it would cause the very wholesale immigration we're suffering today?
Don't want to answer the questions of the people?
Of course not.
Fascinating.
Why would they want to do that?
Okay. We didn't really expect anything different, but that's what we get. No question and answer time whatsoever. All the right things. Oh my goodness, did he say all the right things? But not willing to answer the hard questions. Okay, I might just see if I can ask the media some questions.
Sure.
After the entire New Zealand First team had scurried away to safety from the peasants' questions, I thought, oh well, maybe I'll go and have a chat to the media.
Excuse me, how do you feel about the recent job losses in media, New Zealand?
No good.
Do you think it could have anything to do with a loss of faith in our media?
No, I think it's probably wider than that.
Really? Do you know anything about Group M's entrance into New Zealand and about the Back to News initiative to centralise media outlets into one controllable agency?
No.
You don't know anything about that?
No.
Did you personally receive any of the media hush money or did it just go to your employers? Not willing to answer questions either.
Excuse me, do you work for our mainstream media?
Yep.
Did you personally receive any of the Public Interest Journalism Fund hush money, or did it just go to your employers?
I have no idea.
You don't know? You don't know whether you received it yourself?
No, I didn't receive it, no.
Okay, so it went to your employers then. How do you feel about that? Do you think the loss of faith and the collapse of the media have anything to do with the fact that we've lost trust because we clearly don't tell the truth?
No, it's because people don't support the media.
Why would that be? Do you think we might have lost trust?
No, did you let it die?
Could that be because we prefer unbiased truth?
Yeah.
And we don't actually approve of the publishing of lies? Could it have anything to do with that?
I'm not.
Have you heard about Group M and the centralising Group M and the back... Well, you want to learn about that centralising of our news agencies into a controllable outlet. That's what's happening.
Sounds like you might be a little biased there.
It's an engineered collapse. Just thought I'd let you know.
You might be a little biased.
No, I depend on
facts. She's biased towards the telling the truth. That's the problem. She's an actual journalist.
Thanks for your time. How do you feel about the fact, Barry, that you didn't get a chance to ask Winston any questions today?
Nobody got asked questions, so I was a bit surprised at that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you had plenty of time to do it, but he just walked off the stage. So, yeah, it's not really democracy if you're not allowed to ask questions to your leaders. You've got to speak truth to power, haven't you?
Yes.
I mean, that's fundamental to democracy.
Yeah.
Not despite him saying he's had a law practice and all that, he's been in politics a hell of a long time. So he's like our version of Biden, really. So you might say he's more coherent than Biden. He might say the right things, but is he going to follow through with it?
Yeah. Yes, he's a little bit slow. So it is all very well for him to call out the Public Interest Journalism Fund now, talk about, oh, we need unbiased media, but he actually knows the schemes at play.
Yeah, but who's the media lacking? There is no legacy media, it's all self-employed by...
They're restructuring myself into a more centralised...
So who's going to take over?
Well, that's
a $6 million question, right?
If they want truth, and if they want facts and evidence, they need to go to counter-spin media.
Yes.
Because that is the only place you're going to get it.
And other outlets like it.
Oh, it's like Friends
Ed. We all have our cell phones.
That's
right.
We can
all Scoops McGee. We're all out there. You know, I can, live stream something, put on Twitter, you get a few thousand views. That's more than TVNZ, you know?
That's right.
So this is the future.
Yep, citizen journalism.
Yes.
Just truth seeking.
Yes,
that's right. Yep.
Which is a good thing. Thank you.
Anyway.
That was awesome.
Oh, thank you, Barry.
Thank you. At least you got in front of that.
Well, at least Barry was willing to have an honest conversation with me.
And I couldn't agree with him more there. Let's get out there and be the media, speak the truth, because we certainly can't rely on our government-directed media or on our politicians.
CounterspinMedia.com. Where lies come to die.